Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. Thank you so much for just hanging out with us for this brief moment that we can peer into God's Word together. We are just so blessed at Ebenezer to have an extended church family. And I just thank the Lord for using this virtual connection at ebcnc.com. God is truly making us living epistles that we can be example in this dark world. If you just love the Lord today, can you just lift up those hands wherever you are, put some emoji times in the chat, some hand praise, just thanking the Lord for his goodness, his mercies, and kindness. We've tried to put so much at ebcnc.com to facilitate, to help us to grow in the Lord, to be edified. On Mondays, we have Monday Manna, where we're going through different teachings and trainings at 7 o'clock on that virtual connection. Tuesday at noonday, we're going through the book of Genesis. It's been a spectacular journey, just looking at the history of the Bible. And then on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock, we're going through the book of Hebrews. Very challenging as we have been learning about the high priest. Our Thursday Bible study is in person, right in Sanctuary at 2700 West Vandalia Road at 6 to 7. And we're going through the book of 1 Corinthians as we're learning how to apply God's Word to our lives more and more. I want to thank you so much for your immense prayers for our 8:45 in-person service, our 10:45 in-person service, and our 10 o'clock online. Thank you for being a cheerful giver. I was with our leaders the other day, and I was just saying, we have been blessed at Ebenezer. We thank you for purposing in your heart and giving not grudgingly or of necessity, but you've been cheerful about giving. So thank you, thank you, thank you so much for all you do. Well, I'm ready to get in the Word. We've been in this series, Back to the Basics. That subtopic has been guilt and shame. And today we're going to talk about choices. If you see in my background here, we all have choices. I came up on a wreck the other day, and it was about three cars, and it was just fresh. Pieces and parts were laying all over the intersection, and I had this thought, who made the wrong choice? Who made the wrong choice? So today, we're going to talk about that in respect to guilt and shame. Well, I want you to be ready for God's Word, prepare your hearts, and we'll see you soon.
So let's reflect on Psalm 150. Speaks about all things praising the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
I'm a living testimony. You see, I could have been dead and gone, but the Lord let me live on. I'm a living testimony. Miracles after miracles performed in my life. He keep having mercy on me, even though I didn't deserve to live. When I faced dangers that I couldn't see, he had his angels camped all around me. And I want to say, thank you, Lord, for keeping me alive. Oh, I'm a living testimony. You see, I
I am so glad that we are living testimonies. Sister Teresa, singing that song, if you knew about her life, some of you do, both legs have been amputated and diabetes problems, so many. I could just go on with a line, but she sings that song from her heart because she is a living testimony. And in spite of our challenges in life, it is so good to know that we're being used of the Lord. Well, let's get back into our series, Back to the Basics. Again, these topics were given me by a group of our young people. As this pastor, we want you to go through on detail to get more understanding on these topics. And today we're going to get back to that guilt and shame. But before we get there, I want us to go to our memory scripture. And we've been reading this each Sunday out loud so it can get in our mind and seep into our hearts. So let's go back to James 1:26 and 1:27. If you don't mind, if you could read it aloud wherever you are at this time with me. If anyone amongst you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Isn't that good? I'm telling you, when we apply that to our lives, everything changes. Let's get back into this subtopic of guilt and shame. But before we get into our context scripture today, would you please go in a word of prayer with me? Father, I just want to thank you so much for who you are. I thank you for this day that you've made, Lord. Help us to rejoice and be glad in it. Now, Lord, I pray for those that are listening, viewing today. If there's someone that doesn't know you, I pray that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Oh, that they embrace your grace through faith and not of themselves, but accept that gift that you so willingly give. Thank you for being our sacrifice. Now, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Would you speak to our hearts, Lord? We need a word from you. We need you to peer into our hearts that we can be transformed to your likeness. Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood that even a small child can be changed to be like you, Lord. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for your presence today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want us to go to a particular Old Testament scripture. So we've been in the New Testament looking at guilt and shame. But today, God put on my heart for a different perspective. Go to a familiar scripture for many. So let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 11. And I want us to focus in on that 25th verse. Second Samuel chapter 11 and that 25th verse. It reads, "Then David said to the messenger, 'Thus you shall say to Joab, do not let this thing displease you, for the sword devours one as well as another. Strengthen your attack against the city and overthrow it, so encourage him.'" I want to speak from the title today, Hiding from Shame. Hiding from shame. I want to define shame because shame is dealt with in different perspectives as we kind of have married the words guilt and shame. They're very, very different, but most time they're used together, guilt and shame. But the shame definition is a painful feeling of humiliation or distress caused by consciousness of a foolish behavior. I think we've all been there. You know, I gave that example coming upon that wreck the other day and seeing all the pieces and parts of the cars and just wondering who made a wrong choice, who made a foolish decision to cause all of these issues. This is where we're going to tap into this focus of shame. But what happens when you hide from what you've done? Right? What happens when you try to cover up? This is where we're going to come today. And I think so many are, especially those, I would say, that have been raised up with a Christian background, church, knowing the morality, the teachings of the Bible, but have deviated, made some decisions in your life. And now you've justified that and you're hiding from the shame. Let's get into the context of scripture. Time frame is about 1000 BC. Our character today is David. David has been raised up from a shepherd boy to a king. God has done this, anointed him. He's a great fighter, great leader. Everyone loves him. God's anointing is upon him. And he would pray and ask for God's guidance, and God would show up, order his steps. And there was nothing impossible with God on David's side. What complicates today's scripture is that David, literally in the scriptures, is known as a man after God's own heart. Yes, a man after God's own heart. Acts 13:22 brings this out. "And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, 'Here it is, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will.'" Hiding from shame. What happens when you love God? Please hear me. You love God. You've been raised up in the church, and you do. You love to worship. You love to praise him. But you've done something that's brought guilt and shame, and now you're hiding from it. I hope you hear me. There's so many. You know the right teachings. Your parents prayed for you. Grandma prayed for you. Granddaddy prayed for you, tried to raise you in the right way. But now you find yourself in a place where you're actually hiding from shame. And we're going to talk about, you know, what happened. What can happen when we're in this situation where we're covering ourselves? Let's jump into this section of scripture today, 2 Samuel 11 and 1. It says, "It happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah." Here it is. But can you put in the chat, but this is a big one. "But David remained at Jerusalem. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold." Yes. Yes. He should have been at the battle, right? But he stayed home. He was taking a vacation, a respite, you know, trying to, you know, refresh himself. And he gets a little restless, and he comes out and he goes on his roof and he looks over and he sees a lady in her private time. This was done, you know, that they would actually do this. They would take paths on top of the roof. This was a common thing. But the issue is, David's palace was bigger than everybody else's house. And so he could peer over and look at all that God had blessed him with. And he saw this lady, Bathsheba. "So David sent and inquired about the woman. And someone said, 'Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?'" Here's the point. Please get this in your mind, in your heart. What choice will you make? Yes. What choice will you make? This is compelling when we think about our lives and choices. My wife always gets on me, and you know, when we're driving sometimes, and sometimes I'll have fun as I'm driving, and she's like, all it takes is one bad choice. And I agree, and all of us have experienced that, a good choice or a bad choice, hiding from shame. Warren Wiersbe writes this compelling thought of the section that we're dealing with. He says, you start on the path of sin when you neglect duty. And David was in more danger in Jerusalem than with his army on the battlefield. He laid aside his armor. Yes, he laid aside his armor. This is so important as we peer into the perspective of David and his mindset and this thought pattern of hiding from a shame and guilt. And Paul the Apostle reminds us in Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I'm going to work you today in that chat. Can you put strong, strong? This is so important. You be strong. This is, God is there. He is uplifting, but we have to make a choice to stand strong. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The enemy is coming at us. Any amens out there? He's trying to do all he can do to manipulate our ideas. He's coming up against the church. He's coming against the teachings. Our world is really trying to change the moral standards of this day, and we've got to understand that God's word is true. The enemy is doing all he can do to lead us, to capture us into guilt and shame so that we will hide from that shame. 1 Peter 5:8 gives us a thought of the enemy. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about, here it is, like a roaring lion seeking. Yes, seeking. He is actively seeking someone to devour. He's actively seeking someone to pull off to the side, to get out of the true word of God. 1 Peter 5:9, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You got to know, as we're striving to embrace God's word and be transformed to be like him, we're all under attack. Please, please, the enemy is trying to get all of us. There's something that the enemy wants to bring guilt and shame. He wants to get in our mind. He wants us to make wrong choices. He's bombarding us day in and day out. You're not by yourself. We are a body of Christ, but we've got God's spirit with us. Shame and guilt, hear me, are everywhere in this world. The Spirit speaks in 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, here it is, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We're going to see all of this as we go into the context of this scripture today, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away. It is passing away. What we see, these desires, they are passing away. We're all getting older. Where you're the youngest one that's listening and viewing today to the oldest, we're all transitioning, passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. That's what we want to do. We don't want to hide from our shame. We want to embrace where we are and say, God, I need your mercies and your kindness. Look at 2 Samuel 11:4. Then David, here it is, what choice you gonna make, sent messengers and took her. Yeah, that's a strong word. That's a strong word. I wish that we could have had Bathsheba's side of what she was going through, the trauma that she was dealing with. In Bible study, we've been dealing with issues within the book of Genesis with rape and incest. I just wonder how she felt. This took means that it was kind of against her will. We don't hear a story because women were considered property at that time, but you were supposed to respect someone else's property. But he took her because he was the king, and she came to him, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. Verse 5, and the woman conceived. So she sent and told David and said, I am with child. Man, maybe there's someone out there. This is the first time you're hearing this. I know you're like shocked. This is like, wow, this is drama. This is in the Bible. Yes, this actually happened. Remember, this is a man after God's own heart, a man that prays to the Lord. And we see him in this situation. Here's the point. Pleasure, then pain. Yeah, PNP. A pleasure, then pain. Some of you know what I'm talking about. If only David would have made a different choice. I'm talking about hiding from shame. If only he would have tapped down his desires. That David could have had anybody else. He had many wives at that time, but yet he saw somebody else's wife and he took her and lay. I'm talking about pleasure then pain. If he could have been like Moses, in Hebrews 11:25, it says, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoying the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ a greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. In order to avoid our guilt and shame, we got to make some decisions that sometimes are going to hurt, and our flesh is going to cry out and say, no, we want to go that way. But you've got to decide, I got to think bigger. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. But David chooses the path of guilt and shame. James 1:14 really entails what's going on here. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Can you put in the chat just a small word, own, 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 because you got to own it. You got to realize these things are inside of us. Verse 15. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. This is a powerful, powerful scripture. Bathsheba is pregnant. Yeah, let's call it out. She's pregnant. It's an adulterous affair. It most likely rape at this point, simply because it was not her will. She was connected Uriah. She did not see David. David saw her and took her. This is a scandal of major proportions, and this is supposed to be a man after God's own heart. I'm talking about hiding from shame. What was David thinking at this point? Man, he was probably, wow, you know, I spent a night with Bathsheba, and I'm king. I can do what I want to do. Now realize this just didn't happen the next day. She didn't send him a note the next day. It took a couple of months for her to realize that she's pregnant, and she sends a letter to David. David was just a one-night stand. He's moved on with his life, but I am telling you, hiding from shame, some of you know your sins will find you out. If only a David could have made the right decision, he wouldn't have been at this place. And even right now, David has a choice. He's made a mistake. He has sinned grievously, but he could have repented. Whatever you're hiding from today, you gotta know a Proverbs 5:21 Contemporary English Version. It says, the Lord sees everything and he watches us closely. Yes, he's watching you. He's looking at you. He knows the secrets, the intents of your heart. If you have sinned, don't hide from it. James 5:16, that New Living Translation says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. I am telling you, we all have sinned and fallen short, but if we confess our faults, get someone to pray with her, us and give that to the Lord. God can do amazing things. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hiding from shame. Look at 2 Samuel 11:6. Then David sent to Joab saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. So David chooses not to repent. He's hiding from shame. This is a scandal of major proportions. And the issue is, they know what's going on. Those in the palace, you know, the workers, the messengers, they're like, I can hear the gossip going on. It's getting out. It's blossoming. But David's the king. And so everybody's supposed to be hush hush and not to say anything about this. But he's got a woman that's not his wife, pregnant. And he's got to figure this out. So he says, Joab, Uriah, he's fighting. He's out there on foot. He's fighting for the king. He's fighting for the nation. He says, send Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah had come to him, David asked how Joab was doing and how the people were doing and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, go down to your house and wash your feet. I know some of y'all like, I know what's going on. I can see David, man, just flowing out with sugar and racing and everything. And then finally he's like, once you go to your house, he's trying to cover this up. He's hiding from his shame instead of repenting, as said earlier. He's trying to figure out a way that he can wiggle through this. So Uriah departed from the king's house and a gift of food from the king. King David said, send him some food. Send him some roast beef out there and some macaroni and cheese and some cornbread. We're going to make him full, and he's going to spend time with his wife, 2 Samuel 11, 9. But put it in the chat again. But you knew it was coming. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his Lord. Backfire. Boom. Uriah won't go home. No, Uriah won't go home. David's trying to hide his shame and his guilt and trying to figure a way out of this, and did not go down to his house. So when they told David, saying Uriah did not go down to his house, David said to Uriah, did you not come from a journey? You've been fighting. Why did you not go down to your house? And listen to this. I hope you're with me. And Uriah says something that should have convicted David. Said to David, the ark of Israel and Israel and Judah are dwelling in tents. And my Lord Joab, the servants of my Lord, they're encamped in open fields. They're out there fighting. They in tents right now, trying to defend our nation. Shall I then go to my house to eat and drink and to lie with my wife? As you live and as your soul is, I will not do this thing. I can see David. I can see the blood just coming. You ever been there where that guilt and shame just tries to overtake you and the blood just kind of goes out? You get lightheaded at this point because conviction, the spirit is in the room trying to get David to repent and to confess his sin. Verse 12, then David said to Uriah, wait here today also, and tomorrow I will let you depart. So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. Here it is. Look at this. Verse 13. Now when David called him, he ate and he drank before him, and he made him drunk. Y'all hear me? David is pulling out everything. I sent food behind him, going down there. So he's like, okay. He's been fighting, and I know if I can get him inebriated, yeah, that he can drink a little bit too much, then he'll be beside, he'll let down all of those inhibitions, and he'll make his way back home, and he'll be with his wife. He made him drunk, but look at this. And at evening, he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his Lord. But there it is again. But he did not go down to his house. Here's the point. Please get this one. Maybe God is trying to tell you something. Maybe God is trying to tell you something. Yes, this is, how often does the enemy come? I'm talking about hiding from shame. And it's told us we can successfully hide from our guilt and shame. How often has he done that? You know, maybe it's something that you looked at on the internet, or a movie that you partook in, or you're on your job and it's somebody you've been talking to casually, and all of a sudden this stuff is coming to your mind. If I can get it, you're a married man, you're a married woman, and you're thinking about, you're single, but and you know what the scriptures talk about fornication, sleeping with someone outside of marriage, but you're thinking, maybe this one time, you know, we're in a committed relationship and we're cohabitating and we're paying bills. It's okay. No, it's not okay. You're hiding from the shame. You're justifying it, and you can't fix it. The only way you can get to the point of having peace and get out of this hiding from shame is to take it from the Lord. Proverbs 28:13 says, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Now, hear me. Looking at the Hebrew and breaking down the name of Uriah, you got to get this. Uriah actually means Yahweh is light. Yes, Yahweh is light. So every time, and they knew when they called a person's name, these derivatives would come up. They would understand the background, the definition of their name. They had purpose in their name. So when David calls Uriah, he's saying Yahweh is light. And so every time he calls on Uriah's name, he says Yahweh is light. But I find it very ironic, as he's saying Yahweh is light, that David is choosing to live in darkness. There ought to be some altars in the house here. He's hiding from his shame that he should be walking in the light. He should be falling down, asking Uriah for forgiveness at this point. The scriptures, the law talks about that he should be stoned. He should be killed for this treachery that he's taken against this man that's been fighting for Israel. Maybe God is trying to tell you something. Look at 2 Samuel 11:14, hiding from shame. In the morning, it happened that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. This is one of the saddest portions of scripture. And I want you to feel this at this point. He couldn't get the man to go back to be with his wife because of his allegiance to Israel. So now he steps up his treachery against Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retreat for him that he may be struck down and die. So it was while Joab besieged the city that he assigned Uriah to a place where he knew there were valiant men. Verse 17, then the men of the city came out and fought with Joab, and some of the people of the servants of David fell, and Uriah the Hittite also died. Can you put in the chat, shame on you? Yeah, would you put that shame on you? Just shame, shame, shame. Wherever you're standing, sitting at, just say shame, 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 shame. I'm telling you, please get this point. Please get it. Please get it. It's only going to get worse. Yes, it's only going to get worse. If you continue to hide from your shame, you continue to justify what you're doing, it's only going to get worse. You don't even have to take it from me. The word of God has sternly put it. But I want you to look at, as long as you've been living and you've been hiding in that guilt and shame, how's your life been going? How has it? I know there's been some struggles, and you're like, you know what? I'm still yet holding on, but I'm telling you, it's only going to get worse. Once you really bring down yourself to make one choice that's against God's word, now you're going to make other choices, and you're going to wake up one day and you're going to find yourself like, what happened to my life? It's only going to get worse. The University of Illinois Counseling, they actually said this, and we all know this. I just want you to get in your mind. The first step to moving past shame is to begin to recognize it in your life. The first step to moving past shame is to recognize it in your life. So many people are hiding from the shame. David hides from his shame and guilt, trying to cover it up. He's going against his moral code, and now he's justifying his actions. He's like, it's okay, you know, I'm just fixing it, and everything's gonna be fine. Let's look at how cold-hearted David has become in this situation. Look at 2 Samuel 11:15 again. And he wrote in the letter saying, set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retreat for him that he may be struck down and die, hiding from shame. David has no regard for life. Uriah has done nothing bad against him. Uriah doesn't know what's going on. He's an innocent man. He's an honorable man. He fights. He has allegiance. All of this thing. And David, with his cold, shameful self, remember the context here, man after God's own heart, has made a choice. It's only getting worse, and we see him living in darkness. Theologian Farstead emphasized this terrible, terrible incident. He said, the king ordered Joab to put Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle where death would be inevitable. Then Uriah would not be alive to disown the baby that would be born. Man, he thought it out. He thought it was all together. We must stop hiding today. Yes. If not, it's only gonna get worse in our lives. We gotta stop hiding from the shame, and we gotta run to the Lord. Look at 2 Samuel 11:18. Then Joab sent and told David all the things concerning the war, and charged the messenger, saying, when you have finished telling the matters of the war to the king, if it happens that the king wrath rises and he says to you, why did you approach so near to the city when you fought? Did you not know that they would shoot from the wall? Joab understood David and his mentality. Now we have concisely scriptures But this is taking months, really, for messages to get back and all of this to take place. David, that the time is ticking because Bathsheba's getting bigger, and he's trying to figure out, how can I cover this in? So he's really trying to connect these dots. He's under pressure at this point. Joab's like, he gonna forget that he sent the letter, and I need to make sure he understands what he told me to do some months ago when he sent the letter to me. He said, did you not know that would shoot from the wall? Who struck Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal? Was it not a woman who cast a piece of millstone on him from the wall so that he died in Thebes? Why did you go near the wall? Then you would say, your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. This is in the message that he's sending back to David. So the messenger went and came and told David all that Joab had sent by him. And the messenger said to David, surely the men prevailed against us and came out of us in the field. And when we drove them back as far as the entrance of the gate, the archer shot from the wall at your servants, and some of the king's servants are dead, and your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also, hiding from shame. Look at this 25th verse. I hope you're still with me right now. I know you're in shock, but let's deal with it. Then David said to the messenger, thus you shall say to Joab, Do not let this thing displease you, for the sword devours one as well as another. Strengthen your attack against the city and overthrow it, so encourage him. Here's the point. Living in the dark. Yeah, living in the dark. It's only going to get worse. Hiding from shame. You're going to choose to live in the dark. And some of you, you're like, Pastor, it's not dark. I got lights and everything. No, you're living in the dark, and you're hiding from your shame. I don't care. You could be going to the fellowship, going to church, and you got this secret life that's going on. You got your heart is messed up, and nobody knows. I don't care if people are approving of it. You know what God has said. You know the decisions that you need to make. But if you don't change, you are literally living in the dark, hiding from the shame. David blames the death of your right here on chance. Yeah, he's like, you know, it happens. Look at 2 Samuel 11:25, that mid part. He says, do not let this thing displease you, for the sword devours one as well as another. He's like, well, it wasn't my fault. Yes, it was. You're accomplice of murder. You knew what was going to happen when he was put on the forefront. And now you're trying to justify. You're trying to relieve the conscience of Joab and others that are around it. You're trying to relieve. You're hiding from your shame. And you think you're just going to go on with your life and nothing's going to happen. Guilt and shame can lead us to blame others and hide. Just as our original forefathers of Adam and Eve, we see this same cycle, the same cycle of hiding from our shame. Genesis 3:7, then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. Yeah, they're hiding. They had sinned. They had fallen the enemy, his suggestions. And now they know that they're naked, and they cover themselves. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Yes, hiding. Can you put in the chat, hid, H-I-D, hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, where are you? God already knew where he was. He just wants some conversation to take place in here. So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. There it is. I hid myself. I hid, hiding from shame. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? And then the man said to the woman whom you gave to be with me, she. Yeah, but blame it on somebody else. Oh, it's just chance. It's not my fault. I didn't do it. She gave me the tree and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is it that you have done? And then the woman said, here it is. The serpent deceived me. I ate. The devil made me do it. I preached a sermon on that. The devil made me do it. No, you made a choice. You made a decision to hide from your shame. And literally, they're hiding from God. Are you hiding from God? Maybe that's why you're struggling right now. Maybe that's why you can't get back into a community of believers, because you're hiding and you think it's okay. But God said it's not okay. He's a gracious, he's a loving God. We already talked about it. If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sin. But you got to walk out of wherever you're at. Stop hiding from the shame. Look at this final section of the day, 2 Samuel 11:26. when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, her boo was dead. She had to deal with this. She mourned for her husband. And I wish that God would allow Bathsheba to tell her story, but we don't have a side. All we can figure out, she's conflicted. She's carrying another man's baby on the inside of her. She can't text her husband and say, you know what, I was taken by the king. It just, that's not what they did of the day. She had to keep quiet. This is all balled in. And then she gets a message. The military men show up at her doorstep, and they're all dressed out in their military attire, and they give her this note that Uriah, the honorable man, is that now she's caught up in the mist with another man's baby on the inside, and now she has to grieve for her husband that was killed by David the king. And when her mourning was over, look at this, David, cold-hearted, living in the dark here, hiding from shame, sent and brought her to his house, and she became his wife. And bore him a son, had a shotgun wedding right in the palace. I can see her putting big clothes on her, so nobody knows. But can you put it in the chat again? But, B-U-T. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. The final point. The Lord knows. Yes, the Lord knows. He knew what David had done. David thought he had got it. He had cleaned up the site, and there was no fingerprints yet. He made sure he wiped it all down. The body has been disposed of. He's like, I got away with it, scot-free. He may have even said, praise the Lord. So you do that, you're in your sin, and you think you got away with it. I looked at a show today. I was visiting someone. They had it up on the TV, and the title was, I Almost Got Away with Murder. It was really interesting. It was engaging of these people that have done these hideous acts, and they almost got, they just slipped up. They made one undecision, or they couldn't get past their issues of conscience, and they told somebody, and it was found out that they had murdered someone. This is David. He thinks that it's all said and done. It's tied up. Everybody's been quiet. Everybody's been paid off, and he can move on. He's moved in Bathsheba into the palace. They're like, where did this lady come from? And those in the background say, we know where she came from. And all of a sudden, they're going to find out that she's pregnant, and they're going to believe that it's David. But David knows that that he had messed up. Bathsheba knows that he had messed up. David remembers that he had Uriah killed, but he's hiding from the shame. Oh, it was hidden well. The Spirit speaks in 1 Corinthians 4:5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from. Don't judge too early. No, don't judge too early. Please, come back on next time. I don't know how God's going to deal with my heart, but I got to kind of tie this up, because we're kind of leaving it at this point, hiding from our shame. But we got to see how God is going. We're going to deal with the repercussions. You know, what comes if we don't deal with it? And how do we walk out of a situation like this? But aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? If I can really just take, I'm going to get off the exit right here. And aren't you glad for a Christ? Yeah, I'm talking about, for the New Testament believer today, a Christ who came from heaven to earth, walked among men, healing the sick and raising the dead. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that he taught like none other? Aren't you glad that he did miracles, signs, and wonders? But you know what? He made his way after betrayal of Judas Iscariot. He goes down the Via del Rosa, where he spit on and talked about. He carries a crossbar on his back and goes to a place called Calvary, where he allows them to put nails in his hands and nails in his feet. And on that cross of Calvary, he does something amazing as he looks down on the hideous crowd. He looks down on the people that were messed up. They had made jacked up choices and decisions. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There ought to be some shouts of praise. I know where you're going, Pastor, and I thank God for his grace. On that cross, we see grace. On that cross, we see mercy. Can you put in the chat, mercy, mercy, mercy? That's what we need today, as we think about all of us deserve death, but God poured death on his son. He gives up the ghost and cries out, it's finished. They put him in a cold grave. They lay him there. He's bloodied, and they try to clean it up, but I'm so, so glad that 3 days later, my Jesus, your Jesus, got up with all power and all glory, so that we don't have to hide from our shame. He's seated on the right hand of the Father, praying for us. He said, Father, give them some more time. Father, I'm praying that they will stop hiding from their shame. They will own what they've done. And they will come to the only one that can cleanse them of all unrighteousness. If God, I'm praying that their eyes will be open. I'm praying that for you today. That today will be your day. That you'll come out of the closet. Stop hiding from your shame. Confess it. You can't outrun it. But remember that point. It's only going to get worse. God is a forgiving God, but you got to come to Daddy. You got to come to Him, and you got to confess that stuff, and you got to make a change. Some people want to confess without making a change, and so that confession is really negated because you haven't changed. You haven't walked away from it. You haven't asked God to help you to walk away from it. Well, today is your day. To those who don't know Christ, would you come to Him? He knows your situations. He knows the bad decisions you made. But realize you got to be changed. I have a saying I picked it up from somewhere. A pig is always going to be a pig. And you're like, Pastor, are you calling me a pig? I'm just using it as a symbol here. A pig, no matter how you dress it up, you can put perfume, you can clean it up. But if there's a mud puddle near that pig and you turn your head, he will take that suit and nice perfume and cologne, and he will jump in the mud puddle because that's his nature. He likes mud. And so without being changed, we're going to constantly go back to the mud. And so our first step is salvation. Confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God is raising from the dead. He said, you will be saved. Yes, and when we're saved, He imparts in us His Holy Spirit, and now He's changing us. He's changing us. He's taking from our piggish ways, and He's making us to His likeness. And so that we still have temptations, but now we really embrace greater is He that's in us than he that is in the world. And we want to please Father God. Yes, that's the change that takes place. Salvation. To the saints today, remember our premise as we dealt with David. He was known as a man after God's own heart. And some of you have made some hideous decisions. And you're hiding from that shame. You don't want anybody to know. And, you know, maybe some of you are a part of a church or a fellowship. And you know, if you confess it, you realize, man, your office is, you're going to have to step down from that. Or you realize that people are not going to look at you with the same respect. You know what? It's more important to confess your sins, to get it out, than to stand before the Lord hiding your shame. It's going to come out. I would guarantee people already know. Even with David, people already knew. They already knew what was going on. They just didn't say anything. But God is asking you. He's beckoning you. Let's get it out today. Let's get it out today. Let's choose to walk with Christ. And when we lay it out, stop hiding from our shame, our guilt, that's when God can come in and show out. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this lesson. Search us, Lord. Search us. Touch our hearts today. I pray that souls are being saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. But I pray for your people. Lord, this is a dark world and the decisions are made by, but I believe people who love you, God, and they've just gotten caught up and they find themselves in a place and they're trying to hold up their reputation and they're hiding from their shame. But in hiding from their shame, Lord, they're really denying the power of the cross and what you died for. Father, thank you for your son, Jesus. Jesus, thank you for that sacrifice for us. Thank you for praying for us right now. Help us, Lord, to be more like you. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
All because of you, oh Lord, it's all because of you. Any good that I've done and all that I do, it's all because of you. All because of you. Oh Lord, it's all because of you. Any good that I've done and all that I do, It's all because of you. I give all praises to you, Lord. All that I am, I owe it to thee. You cleanse me from sin and set my soul free to share with others what you've done for me. Singing all because of thee. Oh Lord, it's all because of you. Any good that I've done and all that I do, it's all because of you. Because of the power in your name, I can do all things as you strengthen me to be a witness so the world might believe and give you glory through eternity. Singing all because of you. Oh Lord, it's all because of you. Any good that I've done and all that I do, it's all because of you.
Well, for you today, Father, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. We thank you today for the Ace family that's represented here. We thank you for this individual going to be baptized today. Father, we let him know that he's going the right way to follow Jesus. That's the only way we can go nowadays. And Father, we ask today that this individual that's being baptized will follow you, and each one of us who has been following you for a long time will help him at any time he get on the wrong path or might get straight away. We can help him get back on the right track. So, Father, we ask you to bless this baptism today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Romans chapter 6, beginning verse 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection.
This certificate that we were giving, Brother Jason, it says, whom was baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit at Ebenezer Baptist Church on the day, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And I love that Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, a future and a hope. He's solidifying today his faith, his belief in knowing that Christ is everything, and also celebrating that Christ has done so many miracles in his life.
Take me to the water. Take me to the water. Take me to the water to be baptized.
Brother Jason, do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe that he got up on the third day with all power?
Yes, I do.
Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I do.
It gives me great pleasure to now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name.
I love Jesus. I love Jesus.